This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
As I'm talking to you, America, I am looking at a television image of a working woman with an unemployed husband. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, who is the breadwinner for the Clinton home right now, as her husband does various jobs out and about, raising global awareness for poverty and other initiatives, and golfs. They've got enough money to make this work. This is working just fine for them. But there are a lot of families in which the recession and the economic crisis going on in the country right now is affecting the way the family interacts with one another. A really, really interesting article in Slate magazine this past week about what the economic crisis means for families. And this article called Unwashed Coffee Mugs by Emily Bazelon says that feminists have to see the recession as good news, bad news, because 82% of the job losses that have taken place in recent months are by men. And so she says this is a time of cultural relocation. More women are serving as breadwinners with more men at home. That can bring about a newfound gender equity with husbands who are doing more nurturing things as house husbands and women who are working and providing the bread for the family. On the other hand, she says, what this means is if the husband is unemployed, that means that the wife's job is now even more important than it was before. And this is going to cause some family tension. I'm wondering, how do you think the church ought to speak to this aspect of the economic meltdown? How should we speak to families? What should churches be taking into account when we think about dads who are losing their jobs and moms who are working extra jobs and families in which you have a husband maybe who's working all day long and his wife goes to work as soon as he gets home because they're afraid of losing one of those jobs, afraid of economic collapse? What should we as Christians, how should we be thinking about this? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you think that the economic trouble around us is going to affect families? What should we as churches and Christians be thinking about when it comes to the family and the economy? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe you have noticed some changes in your own family or noticed some special tensions in the families in your neighborhood and your community. What should we know? What would you want to say to your fellow Christians around the country? Hey, this is what you ought to be looking at when you think about how this is affecting moms and dads and kids. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about the family and a collapsing economy. Are the two issues together? Before we do, in the news, speaking of the family, Dr. James Dobson has retired as the chairman of the board and president of Focus on the Family. He's not going to retire from the radio program and from writing and from all of the things that Dr. Dobson does, but he stepped down as chairman of the board this week. Very, very important statement that he made. And Dr. Albert Mohler, host of this radio program and, of course, a member of the Focus on the Family board, spoke on Friday to the Focus on the Family Chapel, the employees there at Focus on the Family, talking about this historical transition at this very important evangelical ministry. And that chapel message was broadcast on the Focus on the Family radio program today. This is what Dr. Mohler had to say.
There are moments in history where you would like to say, I would have been there. I wish I had been there when that happened. I wish I had been there as a witness to when history was made. Well, you are in one of those places today. Very few Christian organizations are able to enjoy a moment like this. To recognize how God has provided from the beginning until now and is providing as we look to the future. Very few Christian organizations are able, in a position of such strength and faithfulness and vitality, to see a transition like this modeled as Jim and Shirley Dobson are modeling this transition before the watching world. We need to be really attentive to what we are doing here. This is not a retirement ceremony. Jim and Shirley Dobson are going to continue to minister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has yet more for them to do, even as the Lord has so much more also for Focus on the Family to do.
Well, amen to that. When you think about the worldwide influence that James Dobson has had and continues to have, especially on issues, I think about those parents who live in places where maybe they don't have a lot of connection with other parents, and they're wondering, how do I discipline a strong-willed child? How do I even begin, especially those first-generation Christians who are wondering, how do I live as a godly parent? How do I understand the difference between raising boys and raising girls? That prophetic voice that James Dobson has been and continues to be, Dr. Mulder rightly mentioned the weighty significance of his ongoing life and ministry. But speaking of radio, Paul Harvey, of course, is gone. This is how many Americans heard the news every day when they turned on their radio dials.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
And that voice that so many of us, I remember riding in the car with my dad every single day, listening to that voice, giving the news and selling products, endorsing products, and then telling us the rest of the story. Paul Harvey is now gone, a very, very significant figure in American broadcasting. And the question is, who's going to follow Paul Harvey on the radio? Who's going to be that voice of America within the American airwaves? And that remains to be seen. President Obama announced today his new Secretary of Health and Human Services, and it is Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius. And this is what she had to say upon the announcement of her nomination today at the White House.
Now, the decision to leave my job in Kansas as governor of the great Sunflower State is not easy. But you, Mr. President, reminded me it's possible to help Kansas and help the United States at the same time. I can think of no greater honor than to join you in this effort to transform our healthcare system and improve the lives of all Americans. Thank you for giving me this challenge.
Kathleen Sebelius, of course, is highly controversial as a Roman Catholic who supports abortion rights. As a matter of fact, she vetoed legislation in Kansas that would restrict abortion rights, and she attended, apparently, a fundraiser, an event that had a very infamous abortion provider in Wichita, Dr. George Tiller, who provides late-term abortions and is very, very controversial in the state of Kansas and around the country. And so pro-life activists are asking, why in the world would President Obama put someone who is so fiercely supportive and so publicly supportive of an abortion rights agenda in that very key and critical position as Secretary of Health and Human Services? No doubt some pro-life United States senators will be asking that question at her confirmation hearings. Kathleen Sebelius, of course, is a mom. She's a working mom, and there are a lot of working moms in American culture right now. You may be looking right now as you're driving home or as you're driving down the highway or as you're leaving your office to go home, you may be seeing a very, very burdened-looking lady who is leaving her job to go home and to care for her children who are just getting out of school. Maybe you are that mom. Or maybe you're that dad. You're leaving your job that you have right now, but because of the economic crisis that your family's experiencing, you're going to take another job and to work another job tonight. There are people all over the place who are experiencing this kind of economic tension. What should we know as Christians about ministering to people as families in the middle of this kind of economic decline? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should we understand this? How should we minister and speak the truth of Christ to people in some tough economic situations? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Do you think that unemployment and economic problems, do they affect men and women differently? When you think of the men that you know and the women that you know, how do economic worries and anxieties affect them in different ways? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we as Christians be ministering to men who have lost their jobs in different ways than we are ministering to women who've lost their jobs? Should we be giving a different kind of counsel to husbands and dads than we're giving to wives and moms? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know how we ought to be thinking about ministering to people who as families are experiencing some economic crunch. But before we get to your calls, I have Mark Chansky on the line, who is a pastor in Holland, Michigan, and he's the author of two really, really important books, Manly Dominion and Womanly Dominion. I first became familiar with the book Manly Dominion about 5 years ago when someone recommended it to me, and I found it absolutely brilliant, practical, helpful. I've taken groups of guys through this book. I know many pastors who use this book in their churches, taking groups of men through the book, showing how the Bible speaks to gaining dominion over your life, not being overwhelmed by the circumstances around you, but instead leading, being decisive, and imaging Christ through taking dominion. He's written a sequel to that called Womanly Dominion, that speaks to women particularly about how to be feminine and how to take dominion over the things that God has put in your life. And so I am very, very glad to have Mark Chansky with us today on the Albert Mohler Program. Mark, welcome to the program.
A real privilege to be here, Dr. Moore. Let me take this opportunity, as I often listen to you while exercising in the morning. We really appreciate Dr. Mohler as he leads. We could call him the Michael Jordan of Christian Talk Radio.
Okay.
But if he be the Michael Jordan, Dr. Moore, you are the Kobe Bryant.
Okay. Well,
I really appreciate your labors.
I think that is the first time that either of us have been compared to Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. I promise you that.
Well, I was going to use Luther and Melanchthon, but Melanchthon never listened to country music.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Mark, you wrote a really interesting article not long ago about a man in your church, a man in your community there in Michigan. Michigan, of course, is being hit by the economic meltdown in especially severe kinds of ways. And this man in your community was delivering pizza at night. And
yeah,
what did that
show happened
you?
Was, Dr. Moore, I was on a Saturday night, went out into a blizzard to pick up pizza at the local Domino's store. And as I was waiting for my MasterCard to go through, the door opened up, and in blew a guy named Jason. And I stared, and our eyes locked, and I could sense that Jason had this embarrassed look on his face, and he was thinking, I'll bet Pastor Chansky thinks I'm such a loser.
Hmm.
You know, psychologically devastated, because he had been a man with his own drywall business, working in construction, flourishing, but now the construction business has tanked, and now he's thinking to himself, what a loser. It's psychologically devastating, but I quickly said to him, Jason, you're a great man. And I reminded him how when I was young, my dad worked three jobs to keep a roof over our head, food on our table, and clothes on our back. And my dad is the greatest man in my mind that I've ever known. And I highly respect him. And I told Jason that your girls who look at you and what you're doing highly esteem you and think you're a great man for getting out. And even though it's psychologically difficult, you're delivering pizza to the glory of God and to their good.
You know, Mark, there are two aspects of that that I think are really interesting. The first is that he experienced this as a sense of embarrassment, and that really lines up with what we're seeing all over the country. Even unbelievers are recognizing this and saying that men, when they experience unemployment, it's a different kind of experience than it is for women. For a man, it seems to hit at the root of who I see myself as.
Well, I think we're created as laborers in the garden. God put us here to work.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a dolphin thrives in the aquamarine blue sea, we thrive when we work. When a dolphin is beached, it's pathetic. When a man is unemployed, it's a pathetic thing. And we experience difficulties because by very virtue of who we are, our hands are to be laboring.
So the fact that men experience depression in a different way than women do, when a woman loses a job, it's traumatic because there's financial implications there for her family and for other things. But when a man loses a job, it seems to point to something about the way that he sees himself in relation to his family in terms of who he is. As you mentioned with this man in your community, am I a loser? And that's not just psychological. That is actually speaking to how we're created.
Oh, I think so. Even look at the Lord Jesus, Mark chapter 6. What do they call him there? Jesus, who is this? He's called the carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Lord Jesus had a vocation that gave him a sense of identity.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, when a man loses his job, he's the breadwinner. That's the assignment God gave to him in the garden.
Yeah.
In contrast, Genesis 3, woman is chiefly not a breadwinner, but she's a child nurturer. And that is her chief role if she is a woman who is a wife and a mother. Her identity is fixated upon her children. And that's why in Proverbs 31, what is it that gives her a sense of purpose? Her children rise up and call her blessed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's interesting, Mark, because a lot of the women that I know who are working a lot right now in order to make ends meet, they kind of have the same kind of sense of desperation often because they're away from their children in the same way that a man might have if he's not providing for his children.
Yeah, and I think that's very instinctive to the way God made us, male and female. I think that focus on a man and his working should be much more intense than on a woman being out in the marketplace. In contrast, I think likewise, women who maybe don't have to be out working full-time, but feel a sense of urgency and agony because they do leave their children somewhere off at a daycare center, that anxiety may be very well-founded.
I wonder if you agree, listener, with Mark Chansky and with me about the fact that the roles of men and women are so different in the way that we're created that shows up even in the way that we experience economic hardship. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think it matters who is doing the breadwinning in a home as long as the bread is won? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And if so, what difference does that make for the way that we minister to people as churches? Give me a call at 877-893-TALK. Mark Chansky, when we come back in just a minute, I'm going to ask you how we as Christians ought to minister to that man who's lost his job, what we should say to him, and how we ought to minister to that woman who has to work and who really feels conflicted about it. But I want to hear from you, caller. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
I've got a friend. Used to be every time he would leave to go to work, his kids would line up at the door and they'd cry and say, "Oh, Daddy, we wish you didn't have to go to work." And one day the mom came out and said to the children, "This is crazy. We ought to be thanking God that Daddy has a job to go to. Let's instead cheer Dad as he goes off to work to provide for our family." I think there is a great wisdom in what that lady did. She is teaching, especially her sons, what it means to honor the role of a dad in providing, in working, in bringing back bread from the earth, as Genesis tells us, to feed his family. I think that's something that often is missing in the way that we are discipling men and women, boys and girls in our churches. How do you think that we, as Christians, ought to reclaim that role of men as breadwinners and women as nurturers that Pastor Chansky was talking about in a few moments ago, when we're living in a world that is so economically tough that a lot of dads are laid off and at home, and a lot of moms are having to work to provide even just to keep the electricity on? How should we emphasize gender roles with work in a way that's Christian and countercultural in tough times like these? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How would you advise a pastor or a church leader or a mentor to shape men to be workers, to shape women to be nurturers? How would you advise us to do that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Pastor Chansky, if you're talking to a man who's lost his job, he doesn't have a job right now, maybe he's 55, 60 years old, he doesn't know what he's going to do, what would you say as a Christian pastor?
Well, I suppose the first thing I'd tell him to do would be to pray. There was a man I know who recently lost his job, and he sat down with an executive asking for counsel, and the exec said, "First thing I would encourage you to do is every morning get down on your knees and cry to God that he would open up doors for you." So that's where I would start, and then I would go into the theme of seeking to trust God. We have promised, Hebrews 13, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He feeds the birds of the air and clothes the lilies of the field," and we're not to be anxious. So in a situation like this, we're being schooled in the university of unemployment, and the Lord is teaching us spiritual lessons. So open the heart to God. But then I think it's so important for a man who is unemployed to not allow himself to be paralyzed by his fears and his insecurities. I was listening to a man over the weekend who said, "As men, we've got to grab ourselves with the help of God by the scruff of the neck. We got to get out of the cave. We got to go find some food, kill it, and drag it home." And oftentimes, that's a very difficult thing to do when psychologically we had a job that was highly esteemed in the community, but now maybe we're delivering pizzas, or in the case of Joseph back in Genesis, he was the CEO of the family herding company, and now he's holding a broom in a prison, but he worked with all his might. He who's responsible in little things is given bigger things, and eventually he had all of Egypt subdued under his feet. Why? Because in little things he worked conscientiously.
Absolutely.
And was recognized, and he was rewarded for it.
Real quick, Mark Chansky, what would you say to a woman who says, "I'm working, I'm providing for my family right now because my husband's unemployed. How do I remain feminine? How do I submit to my husband and honor his leadership when I'm paying the bills?"
Oh, that's a tough situation, and I ache for women in that place. I think, firstly, 1 Peter 3, don't give way to fear. That could be something that could be so crippling. But also, I think, to look at such a situation as one that is not necessarily normalcy and enduring, but a situation of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And in times of emergency, oftentimes we'll have to go beyond our comfort zones, where we'd want to be. A woman in our church whose husband lost his job a while back, she was a nurse and hadn't nursed in a while, but was able to go off and put in some shifts and bring home a good amount of income per hour. And she did that realizing that, would to God, a door would be open for her husband. It was only for a matter of time.
All right. Thank you, Mark Chansky, author of Manly Dominion and Womanly Dominion. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. How do we encourage men and women to be men and women when they're working jobs that don't seem to fit? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about how the economy is going to affect families, especially at the level of gender roles. In Slate Magazine last week, there's an article in which feminists are celebrating the fact that now you're going to have a fluidity to what men do and what women do, because so many men, 82%, according to this article, of the layoffs are of men, so you have more, by necessity, stay-at-home dads, and more, by necessity, working moms. But this article says there's a special kind of loss that men feel. The author cites a reader in Atlanta who says that both she and her husband have been laid off four times, and the lady says it's harder for her husband than for her because, as she puts it, he takes each layoff as almost a body blow. There's something that is different, it seems, about the way that a man views his role as breadwinner from the way that a woman views her role as providing for the family. What I want to know from you is, do you think that we as churches are doing a good enough job teaching and training men to be breadwinners and women to be primary nurturers? Or do you think it matters? Should we simply train people to work, to make money, and to be godly? Or should we say something specific to men and something specific to women about what that ought to look like, even in tough times like these? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Vicki on the line. Vicki, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Yes, Dr. Moore, I just wanted to comment that I agree with your guest, and I think that a woman has that innate nature to miss her children when she goes out to work. It's just built in, and I can say that I worked outside my home for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that brings a heartbreak, just to remember taking my children to daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And I think men do feel that they're the breadwinners, and we've tried to blend the sexes so much that we forget that God has put us here and for different purposes.
So, Vicki, how would you recommend that churches minister to that working mom who's experiencing that kind of anxiety? She's dropping her kids off, and she's going to work, and it's an economic necessity she feels in order to do this. How can churches minister to her?
Well, I think ways to help families relieve stress and realize that children materially need very little, but they do need to have a sense of security
mm-hmm.
and a stress-free atmosphere as much as a family can make it going through economic hard times. But that to recognize them and spend time with them as much as possible and make that a joyous occasion. You have to plan and do things differently, and we do have to uphold families.
All right. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that economic hard times necessitate women being breadwinners and men sometimes being stay-at-home dads? Sometimes when I'm out preaching and teaching on this issue and about what God has revealed to us in Genesis, that it's essential to the man's nature to bring forth that bread from the earth. That's what God reveals about even his name. He is named Adam because he is taken out of the earth, and it is from the earth, God says, that he's going to bring forth the bread. The woman is named Eve because she is the mother of all living, and her primary role is that nurturing of the children. That's even where you see the curse showing up. The man is frustrated in bringing forth that bread by the sweat of his brow, thorns and thistles. The woman is frustrated with that pain in childbearing. It hits at the essential nature of who they are. But whenever I mention that, sometimes you will have people who will say, well, that's only because you've got people who have the economic freedom to be able to have a dad working and a mom staying at home, but most of us can't afford that. Do you think there is still something that a church ought to speak to men and women in economic hard times about a differentness to their roles in the economic order and in providing? And should it give to us a sense of empathy? I think it should. I think we ought to recognize that hard times affect men differently than they affect women. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you think that we ought to be ministering to men and women in economic hard times, understanding the differences that God has put there? Another thing that I think Mark Chansky is on to, when he talks about dominion, he talks about this man in his church that's delivering pizza as a second job, and he says to him, you're a winner. You're not a loser. I think a lot of times our churches subtly reinforce what the culture does by honoring work that is seen to be glamorous and meaningful and purposeful. And sometimes we neglect those jobs that don't seem to us to be as exciting or as good. That guy delivering pizzas, what he's doing is taking dominion over what God has given to him. As Pastor Chansky says, he's taking dominion in those small things. What's God doing? God is teaching him to be able to take dominion over many things. That's exactly what Jesus says he is doing in every single one of our jobs. And so I think that often our churches are failing men by refusing to honor good, hard labor. Exactly what Paul is saying when he says a man who will not care for his family is worse than an infidel, but the reverse is also true. A man who provides for his family ought to be honored. We have Chris on the line who's calling from Colorado. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I do believe that there's an even balance, but I believe men should step up. They should have the desire to provide for their family and have the need and the inherent need to want to earn the bread, and the woman should want to be a nurturer. Now, there's, of course, even balance where they can give and take, but sure. Overall, there should be a healthy balance where they should want to play their roles correctly.
All right. What do you think? Chris says that one of the goals we ought to have in discipleship is at the level of desire, at the level of affection. Women who want to nurture and men who want to work. I think he's on to something. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do we do that in economic hard times? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Heaven knows I've been working hard. Wanted Christmas to be right for Daddy's girl. I don't mean to hate December. It's meant to be the happy time of year. And my little girl don't.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Had a lady who called a few minutes ago and said she wanted to know if Dr. Moore had any good resources on men working and providing because she wanted to sign her husband up for those classes. That's kind of the problem. You can't sign your husband up for classes. The issue is there is a leadership and a decisiveness that is given, a responsibility is given to men as men. I want to speak directly here to men. Whether you're in an economic crisis or not, the scripture speaks of work as being primary to who you are. So a guy who can't keep his commitments early on in life, who can't take dominion over the small things that God is giving to him, is not going to be able to grow in grace and godliness, because that's what it means to grow in grace and godliness. The same thing is true for a woman. 1 Peter chapter 3 speaks of sanctification for a woman as looking in some ways very different from sanctification in a man. There is a quietness of heart, a dignity and inner beauty, the Apostle Peter says, that God declares to be beautiful. And so the fact that sociologists and psychologists are saying an economic loss hits a man at the psychological level harder than it hits a woman, that shouldn't surprise those of us who believe that God has created us with those areas of difference. Instead, what it ought to cause us to do as churches is to say, let's be empathetic with anybody who's lost a job, but let's understand also the kind of unique stress that it places upon a man who is created to be breadwinner when he loses that. And let's emphasize and understand how stressful it is on a wife, on a mom, who suddenly feels as though she has to become the breadwinner for the family. That takes an empathetic pastoral spirit to be able to minister to people in crises like that. And it also means that as we're doing that, let's encourage men who are working. That guy out there that's working 2 and 3 jobs to be able to provide for his family, he's a hero. It doesn't matter whether or not you consider his job or jobs to be glamorous or meaningful or fulfilling. We need to give that guy a high five and say, little boys in Sunday school, you look at that guy who's providing for his family. And let's train up people who know how to work and who honor work, even as we minister to those who aren't able to work right now. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.